The Ranch. The ranch sat in a fold of the Truckee Meadows, 7 miles south of Reno, at the end of a dirt road that turned off the main highway and ran through sagebrush for a quarter mile before arriving at a gate made of peeled pine poles. Beyond the gate were two bunkhouses, a main house with a wide porch, a barn, a corral, and a view of the Sierra Nevada that was, Vera Hollis thought, almost offensively beautiful, the kind of view that made your problems seem smaller, not because they were smaller, but because everything else was so much larger. Vera was 37 years old. She had arrived from Chicago 3 weeks earlier and had spent the first two at the Riverside Hotel in Reno, where she had slept badly and walked along the river and eaten dinner among other women who were, like her, waiting. She had come to the ranch because her attorney suggested it, and because Vera was not a woman who did well with waiting. She needed something to do with her hands. Her husband was in Chicago. He was an insurance executive who had, over 12 years of marriage, turned their house on Lakeshore Drive into a place of such oppressive order that Vera sometimes felt she was living inside a filing cabinet. The towels were folded in thirds. The books were arranged by height. The children, two boys, were scheduled from breakfast to bedtime, with a rigor that left no room for the kind of purposeless, necessary idleness that children require. Vera had asked for changes. Nothing had changed. The ranch was owned by a woman named Jeanette Caldwell, who was 45 and who had come to Reno for her own divorce in 1916 and had stayed because the West offered a kind of space that the East did not, space not just geographic but social. The space to be a woman who owned property and ran a business and answered to nobody about it. Jeanette had bought the ranch in 1919 with money from her settlement and had converted it from a working cattle operation into something that did not have a precise name. It was not a hotel. It was not a resort. It was a guest ranch, a place where women waiting out their residency could ride horses and eat meals cooked by someone else and sleep in clean beds and feel, for the duration of their stay, less like supplicants at a courthouse, and more like people on a long, strange, involuntary vacation. There were 8 guests when Vera arrived. They slept in the 2 bunkhouses, 4 women to each, in iron beds with wool blankets and cotton sheets that smelled of sage because the laundry was hung on lines behind the main house. The main house contained the kitchen, a dining room with a long table, and a sitting room with a fireplace and a view of the corral through a west-facing window. Rosa Morales ran the kitchen. She was 34, the daughter of Guadalupe Morales, who had worked the rail yard when Reno was still figuring out what it was. She cooked the way she did everything, with a competence so thorough it looked effortless, which is the most deceiving appearance competence can take. Breakfast was at 7, dinner was at 6. Rosa baked bread each morning, and it filled the main house with the smell that was, in Vera's estimation, the single most comforting thing about the ranch. More comforting than the horses or the mountains or the distance from Chicago, because the smell of bread baking is the smell of a place that is trying to feed you, and a place that is trying to feed you is a place that wants you to stay. The days had a rhythm. Mornings were for riding. Jeanette kept 12 horses in the corral, gentle animals selected for women who had never ridden and who arrived in the wrong shoes with no idea how to sit in a saddle. Jeanette gave the lessons herself, standing in the corral in boots and a wide hat, speaking to the horses and the women in the same tone, calm and direct and without condescension. Afternoons were unstructured. Some women read on the porch. Some napped. Vera walked south through the sagebrush to a low ridge from which you could see the valley laid out below, the river a bright line through the brown and green, the town of Reno visible to the north as a collection of rooftops and the spire of the courthouse, small and distant and irrelevant to the experience of standing on a ridge in the wind, with nothing between you and the mountains. She thought about her boys. They were 8 and 10, in school, fed and clothed, and managed by a man she no longer trusted to understand them. None of those things were the same as being known. Vera was the person who knew them, and she was 7 miles south of Reno, standing on a ridge in the sagebrush, waiting for a judge to sign a piece of paper that would allow her to go back and get them. In the evenings after dinner, the women sat on the porch and watched the light leave the valley. It left slowly, the way light leaves in the high desert, the sky turning from blue to gold to pink to a deep purple that was almost violet, and the mountains going dark from the base up, as if the darkness were rising out of the ground rather than falling from the sky. They talked sometimes, not always. Some evenings were quiet, 8 women on a porch watching the same sky and thinking different thoughts. Rosa came out after she finished the dishes and sat on the porch steps and listened. She did not offer opinions. She was not there for that. But she was there, which was its own kind of offering, the presence of a woman who worked at the ranch, not because she was waiting for something, but because this was her life, her work, her place. And this steadiness was a thing the guests recognized and were grateful for, even if they could not have named it. Vera stayed 4 months. In her last week, she rode out to the ridge alone and stood in the wind and thought about what she would take with her. The bread smell, the way the sky looked at sunset. She would leave the fear, which she had carried from Chicago in her chest like a stone, and which had somewhere in the weeks of riding and walking and sitting on the porch in the evening, dissolved, not all at once but gradually, the way a stone in a river is worn down by the steady passage of water over time. She rode back to the ranch. Rosa was in the kitchen. Dinner smelled like beef and rosemary. The other women were on the porch. The horses were in the corral. The mountains were turning gold. Everything was in its place. Vera put the horse away and went inside. Historical note. Divorce ranches began appearing around Reno in the early 1920s, offering women a more comfortable and private alternative to hotels during their required residency period. Among the best known were the Pyramid Lake Ranch, the TH Ranch, the Flying ME Ranch in Franktown, and the Washoe Pines Guest Ranch in Washoe Valley. The ranches provided horseback riding, social activities, and a Western experience that became part of the mythology of Reno divorce. Most had closed by the 1960s as divorce laws liberalized nationwide and the trade declined.